Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that family matters to you. Lord, we thank you that we are starting this new series and that family is by your design. And Lord, what a beautiful church family we have. Lord, we are so grateful. And we're grateful for the many, many families that are a part of our church family, Lord. And family is a pretty big and open word, Lord. And we're just so grateful that in all the different looks and feels of our families here, Lord, that you are leading us. Lord, we are grateful that we get to have a perfect heavenly Father. So, Father, as we look at your word today, as we look at the next 6 weeks in this series, Lord, we ask for your blessing upon the families. Lord, show us, none of us have got this all down. We are all needing to learn so much. So please, Lord, humble our hearts. Prepare us for your word so that we are ready to hear what you have for us specifically. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, guys. So today we're going with Be a Man, Biblical Manhood. Next week it's Biblical Womanhood. And I haven't thought of a Be a Woman. Does that work? I don't know. We're going to be going over marriage and parenting, both parenting for husband and wife, and then for single parents we're going to hit. And then we're also going to hit the single adult, how we serve God as a single adult. And then our last one will be second half ministry, which is for our silvering and white-haired gentlemen and ladies, the second half of the game, the second half of ministry, and how we commit and get involved in retirement years and in years a little before retirement. So I'm excited that we're going to really hit all the different areas, hopefully, of family and where all of us will fit in. So I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you're not a man, this message is not for somebody else. There are some principles that we're going to be talking about. The principles will be overlapping. But I also want to encourage you, be thinking if you're a parent and if you're a mom and you've got a son, this is what we're aiming at. This is our desire, our goal to raise our sons in biblical manhood and truth. So it's going to be a challenging series for us. But all right, be a man. Who do we got up there? Chuck Norris. I was thinking about, do I have Arnold Schwarzenegger? That wasn't a very good Arnold. I'm Arnold. Oh, no, but I didn't go with Arnold. I went with Chuck Norris. And the reason I chose Chuck Norris is obviously because there are so many jokes about Chuck Norris being a manly man. And so, you know, Chuck Norris is such a man that he can cut through a hot knife with butter. When Chuck Norris was born, he drove his mom home from the hospital. The Apostle Peter walked on water, but Chuck Norris can swim through land. Chuck Norris can even slam a revolving door. And Chuck Norris is the reason that Waldo is hiding. So. When we talk about manhood, biblical man, when I talk about what does it mean to be a man, you know, people are driving by seeing the sign, be a man. And I know people are thinking a lot of different thoughts when they drive by that sign. What does it mean to be a man? So many of us are raised with a picture of Chuck, of the manly man, the guy with the big muscles and the guy conquering. And at one point, I came out with my friend of seeing a movie, and it was Rambo. And I was so excited from the movie Rambo. My friend and I, Sydney, we went down all of the dark streets in downtown Seattle with money hanging out of our pockets, trying to get mugged so that we could go Rambo. We were high school, we were dumb. Oh, man.
God had grace in us. We did not. I think we looked too eager to get mugged. Nobody touched us.
But there's so many different pictures that we have of manhood, isn't there? And as we look at what is real manhood? What does it really look like? It's a little bit less of the Chuck Norris. Actually, he as a man is a pretty neat man. He's a Christian man. But I tell you, it's much more, rather than looking at the outside, it's much more to do with the heart. It's much more what's happening on the inside. And today, men are prone to either chauvinism or cowardice. We're either one extreme and pushed to one extreme or pushed to another. If you look at any of the TV shows today, what do you see? Men just cowering and being the butt of all the jokes and wimpy, spineless men. Or you see the action hero. Very little of what's in between. And I think what we're aiming at is either one extreme or the other by the world standards. But I think that what we need to be aiming at is God's biblical standard. In 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14, it says, be on your guard. I love that. I love that picture because be on your guard. What does that give you a picture of? I love the thought of a man standing strong, being on the guard. What does a guard do? He protects, doesn't he? A guard protects. A guard is there watching over, making sure everything is okay. Be on your guard. Stand firm, not in yourself, but what? In the faith. Guys, how do we be men of God? We stand firm, not in our own vibrato, not in our own, look at me, I'm a man, puffing. I could put on 40 pounds of muscle with one breath. It's pretty great. I was doing that when I was walking down that alley. Mug me. I also had a little bit more muscle here and a little less muscle here. It's about what's happening on the inside. Guard your hands, heart, stand firm. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. Standing firm in our faith, in Christ, in who Jesus is. My faith is in Jesus Christ. Therefore, my understanding of manhood doesn't come necessarily from my earthly father as much as it should come from my heavenly father. Because the reality is, a lot of guys in this room, a lot of guys out there, when you say the word father, it brings a sour taste in the mouth. For some, dad wasn't there. For others, dad was there, but dad wasn't there. And for others, by the grace of God, dad was there and he was representing Jesus. And he was a blessing. He was pointing to Christ. And what a blessing, an incredible blessing that is. Be men of courage. You know, courage is a funny word because when we think of courage, we think of battles, don't we? We think of, the first thing that comes to my mind is guys like Joshua and guys fighting and being strong and doing what's right. And that is true, but it doesn't always mean standing in the battle. Often courage means doing what's right when no one is looking. Often it means standing up for truth when it's difficult at the workplace. Often it means being courageous enough not to retaliate. To not fight is sometimes true strength and courage. To see the person that's opposite you, not for what they're coming at you with, but seeing that the person they are and the troubles they're having. And sometimes when people come and they're ready for battle, the reason they're ready for battle is because they're wounded and broken. And so the response is to do battle. But true courage is seeing them with the eyes of Christ and speaking truth and dealing with it in a courageous way, which it's so easy to always just, but man, when we stand, when we're men of courage, be strong. I love those pictures. Be strong. There's a book I couldn't, I'm going from memory and I can't get the quote right, and I went to the bookstore and I couldn't find the book, but basically one of the things that it was talking about was there were these women talking about things that they were wanting and that they found appealing in men. And one of them was talking about strong muscles, and the other one was talking about a sturdy gaze. And then this older woman spoke up. She said, you know, strength is good, but when they have strength to be kind. You know, a sturdy gaze is good, but when they have a heart that is true in the midst of temptation. And as the women, younger women, were listening to this older woman, their jaws started dropping and they're like, yeah, that's manhood. That's attractive. That's good. Be men of courage. Be strong. And here it is. Do everything in love. Do everything in love. How hard is that? It is so hard. I tell you, there are times where Julie is extremely, most of the time, she is extremely easy to, now she's gone downstairs so I can talk about her. No, I do. She's extremely easy to love most of the time, but there are times, I'm telling you, there are times where it's harder. There are times where she's being stubborn, and you know what? So am I. And so there are times where it's hard to love. And that's where we come back to that commitment, the love of Christ. We don't love by just these cheap emotions that are when things are good and when she's treating me nice, then I love. But we choose to love when it's difficult, when it's hard. We choose to make things right. So let's, as we get started here, it's time for men to wake up and being willing to fight for what is right, for what is real, for what is truth. Romans 13:11 says this, "The present time is of the highest importance. It is time to wake up to reality. The night is nearly over. The day has almost dawned. Let us put on spiritual armor for the fight of the day." Imagine what our community, what South Seattle, Skyway, Renton, Tukwila, what it would look like if men manned up. Think about how different this community would be. If the majority of our men were biblical men, were spiritual men. And so guess what, guys? It starts where? With me. With you. It starts with us. It starts with us figuring out what specifically is my call. How has God shaped me? How does he want to use me? How does he want to use the gifts that he's given me? I need to get involved. The time is of the highest importance. It's time to wake up to reality. It's time to wake up, guys. It's a time to stand in Christ, not ourselves, in the Word of God, in the truth of the Word. It's time to stand. The night is nearly over. The day has almost dawned. We have very little time. Guys, the life we have now on earth is but a blink. Eternity is forever. We need to get passionate about life. We need to not waste our opportunities. We need to see what are the needs of the people around us. And for the men here, we need to say, how do I serve? How do I guard, protect, honor? How do I direct people to Jesus and not to me? Daniel 11:32 says, "With flattery he will corrupt those who have violated the covenant, but the people who know their God will firmly resist him." If we know God, we firmly resist the junk. I don't resist the junk of the enemy in my own strength. I resist. Why? Because I firmly know my heavenly Father. Father. I really know him. I don't just know about him. You know the difference of knowing about somebody and truly knowing someone? I know about Michael Jordan. I don't know Michael Jordan. Now, for some of you younger people, if anybody here says, Michael who? I'm going to feel a little upset. A little older than I did yesterday. We desire to be known. We were created to be known. There's something that hungers for that in us. How many times can we as men hear a wake-up call without responding? You know, when Julie and I spent, most of you know, spent 6 years in Uganda. And while we were there, there was time after time after time where my understanding of manhood was absolutely trashed because of the example that I had had growing up of a father that doesn't know Jesus. And I was, even though I was had been a believer since 15, and I had been a pastor, and I had been involved in ministry, full-time ministry, for years, there was still a big chunk of my heart that was not right because of the wound of my father. And one of the things that really shocked me, there were times where I had wake-up calls. And one of the greatest wake-up calls for me was when I was there and a gentleman, Joseph, came up to me and he shared what was happening with his wife, that she was dying giving birth. And so we went over to see her, and we got in the car, and as we're driving, he's sharing with me that there's nothing he can do because by the culture, he's not supposed to go where a woman is giving birth. Meanwhile, she's one of his four wives. The other wives are upset because she's producing, as they said over there, and so she was getting better food. And she was getting better treatment. And so the baby was turned the wrong direction and one leg was sticking out. And as I found out more, I found out that a leg had been sticking out for about 2 hours. So I knew the baby was probably dead. But he said he could hear the screams of his wife coming out of the house. She was dying slowly. And the other women wouldn't help turn. Any one of them, every single one of them knew what to do. They could have instantly just reached in, turned the baby, and the baby comes right out. But she had been getting the better food. And so there's, you know, when there's a reason God has one wife and one husband. And so we got there, and I'm hearing this, and he's just frozen in the car. And I go up to the house, and by culture, he's supposed to stay out, I'm supposed to stay out. And we come as missionaries, we need to be very sensitive to culture. But one of the things that we do is we're not to bring Western culture as missionaries, we're to bring kingdom culture. And so Western culture is not what we're trying to bring, but the kingdom of God, the truth of the word, and where culture in their culture or culture in our culture goes against the word of God, we need to smash it down. And I went up to the door, and it was locked, and I had to kick down the door. And as I barged through, I went to the next door, and it was locked, and I kicked it down. And the women were beating me with these sticks and with their hands, and they were scratching me. And I walked in the door, and I see his wife and blood everywhere. And she's weak and just barely responsive. And I go and I scoop her up and I'm praying, God, you know, so many people are dying of AIDS and there's so many things going on. I just remember praying, God, you know, and we hadn't been there that long at this point. I just remember praying. So I didn't know the realities and some of the truths. And I just praying, God, please don't let me get AIDS. Please don't let me get an infection. Please, you know, and there's blood everywhere. And I got her, and then they're beating me and beating her as I'm carrying her out. And I put her in the car, we drive to the hospital, I'm beeping the horn as we come in, and The nurse comes out, and within 20 seconds, in the back of the truck, the nurse turns the baby comes out. And the baby's dead. This beautiful, beautiful little girl. Absolutely gorgeous baby. And the thing that hurt the most for me for the days and weeks and months to come from that, and what threw me into such, personally, a dark time for me to process, was from that point on, everyone was okay. Dad was thankful his wife was alive. Mom was thankful that she was alive. And there was nobody mourning for the baby. You see, in a culture that it was I talked to the head Ugandan man who's been here, Jones Bakimi. I said, I don't understand why nobody mourned. Because we went to the hospital and they just set the baby down and everybody was laughing and talking and fine. And I said, I don't understand. It made me angry. And everybody left this hallway where they set the baby down, and I just put my hand on the baby and I started crying, and I was the only one weeping for the child. And I said to Jones, I said, I don't understand. I don't understand the culture here. I don't understand how that can happen. He says, Matthew, this is a survival mentality. We're surrounded by death nonstop. People are not living, they're surviving. They're living for today. It's a culture that we've struggled with. We don't have the things being taught from father and mother down to children. We have often children raising children because of the AIDS and the wars and the water and the malaria. And all of the blessings and the richness of our culture is not being poured down. It's a survival mentality. That's what you saw. Were people trying to keep themselves separate? It's not that they didn't feel the pain. It's that they were trying to protect themselves. They cared, but also, you're a pastor, and in that culture, it would be rude to you to show real emotion. Guys, we need to be willing to go against the culture of the day, where the culture is not biblically correct. We desire to bring a biblical culture to our community. That means we don't desire to bring our understanding, because my understanding, your understanding, it's flawed. We need to bring the truth of the word. Our understanding of what is right and what is wrong comes from right here. This is the truth. This is where we get our instructions of how to be men and women of God. And nothing else. Because everything else falls short. It leaves others around us empty. It wounds the people around us. And guys, as men, we're called to protect and watch over. Not to wound. Not to be the ones who wound. So what are the landmines to a man's character? What are the things for men that just, man, they're easy pickings for the enemy? You know what easy pickings is? It's the low, easy fruit. You don't want to get on the ladder to get the fruit that's with it. If you've got these, it's the stuff that you can reach so easily. And for men, there's some things that the enemy just, it's so easy for him to come against us with. And the first one is the perversion of self. They're all perversions. It's the perversion of self. It's pride. You see, God made us in what? In his image. That is a blessing. We are created in the image of God, male and female. He created in the image of God. By our very creation, we bring glory to God. Children are a blessing. Children are a blessing. But the confusion comes when we start to try and raise ourselves. And we have an enemy, a father of lies, who really knew how to do that well. And he gives us the example, and he tries to bring us down his path. In Isaiah 14, it says, "How you have fallen from heaven,
talking about Lucifer falling and becoming Satan. The great angel, God's best, most right-hand angel. Beautiful, worshiping. Created to bring glory to God. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations. And here's why. Back to the heart, guys. Back to the heart. You said in your heart, I will ascend. I will raise up to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. How absurd is it that the creation, the angel, thinks of himself more highly than the Creator? But I got to tell you something, guys. Many times in my life, that's been me. Many times in my life, I've put myself in the same thought process as the father of lies, as Satan himself. That's been what's governed some of my decisions, how I've responded at times, how I've thought of myself at times. Believing the father of lies, maybe not in big ways, but in those small things, in responses. Somebody comes at me usually as I grow and as I learn, as I serve, grace comes. You come at my children, it's going to be by the grace of God. Anything goes well there. I get more protective there. And I fail more there. I live out Matthew's truth as opposed to the truth of the Word. Too often there. Sometimes, often, most of the time, when that happens, you don't see it on the outside. But it's a rumbling on the inside. And just like here, as it says, you said in your heart, I say in my heart, maybe not with my mouth, but in my heart, how dare you come at me or my children? How dare you say that? I'm trying to make my son look bad, trying to make say something. How dare you say that about my wife? Or the people I care about? Or my church? And on the outside, it's often, well, let's talk about that. Have you ever seen that empty smile on someone? When it's hate and bitterness behind the smile? Guys, pride destroys. Pride tries to puff me up by pushing others down. Pride tries to find any way to have others be knocked down to join me. Pride is destructive. It hurts, and it hurts many people. It's a big landmine for men. Another landmine to a man's character is the perversion of passion. The perversion of passion, lust. Matthew 5:27 says, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Guys, how are we doing with that scripture? Honestly, does that sting? It stings me. How are we doing with that? See, man says, don't do. God says, how's your heart? What are you thinking in your mind? Because your actions will one day follow what you think. What you believe and what you know and how you think decides what you do.
You've heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks in today's society, can you imagine how men struggle with this? Women too, I'm sure. I don't know, I'm not a woman. But I know men struggle with it. If they're normal, if they're healthy. Right? Honestly, guys, I mean, isn't this something we need to be honest about? This is an area where the enemy can come at us, hurt our families, hurt our children, hurt our wives, hurt our mothers. Anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What are the effects? That's the warning. What are the effects? 2 Peter 2:19 says, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. I find the word slavery offensive. Am I alone in that? I find slavery offensive. And yet, how many times have I allowed myself and put myself in the way of saying, I'm becoming a slave to my emotions, to my passions, because of what I allow myself to think? Men, we need to be willing to say, no, I'm not going to do that. When the temptation comes, and it comes every day, and usually every hour or every 20 minutes, when it comes, we need to process things differently as men of God. If we're going to honor God in our hearts, not just on the outside. What happens when we start seeing women as children of God? When we start valuing women the way God intends man to value women? We stop thinking, what can I get? And we start thinking, how can I serve? How can I bless? Guys, this is a huge one. Pornography is out of control in our society. And I'm not just talking about for some guys. A lot of guys. A lot of guys. A lot of guys that you'd never think would struggle. One of the things I heard years back was pastors, huge percentage of pastors struggle in the area of what? Pornography. Because men are thinking, I'm not cheating. What was that scripture we just read? Anyone who looks. And the lust takes place. Adultery of the heart. So how do we deal with that in a world where I love football. I'm so excited for the football season. I can't tell you how excited I am. We're doing fantasy football again this year. Oh, I love it. I love to follow the teams. But you know what? Every time you watch football, guess what commercials come on? Budweiser commercials. With football comes what? Budweiser. And I got to tell you, some of their commercials are really funny. But a lot of their commercials are full of women half-dressed. You can't go anywhere without being bombarded with image after image after image, playing on our weakness. The father of lies has got such success of just setting the stage and slowly by slowly, if we are not intentional, we will go down a road we thought we would never go. When you compromise a little, the next time, all you have to do is compromise a little bit more. The next time, all you have to do is compromise a little bit more. You do that day after day, temptation after temptation, and within weeks or months or years, you're in a place you never thought you would be, making decisions you never thought you would make. Men, this is an area that we need to be real about. This is an area, if we are not intentional, we will fail. We will fail without the love and the truth of Christ in our lives. What is it? Men have as they're going through adolescence, they have sexual thoughts. What is it? It's like every 5 or 7 seconds. It's crazy. Guys, here's the thought, though. We were created in the image of God. Does God make mistakes? No. Is sexuality wrong? No. There's a purpose for it. It's a blessing. It's beautiful. Done in a way that God designed it. God designed it to be beautiful and wonderful. And when it is done in the way, when sexuality is expressed in the way that God designs it, it brings blessings. It brings children. It brings joy. It brings intimacy. It brings passion and pleasure. It brings no shame. Outside of God's design, what does it bring? Guilt. And we don't have to go to the nth degree for the shame to come, do we? We need to be wise. We need to know where the battle is. Solution. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Apart from the Spirit of God, guess what? What does the flip side of that mean? Apart from the Spirit of God, what am I going to do? Sin. I'm going to gratify the sins of my flesh. I'm going to, the temptation comes and I'm going to give in to that temptation. Because it's the enemy hitting me exactly where I can be nailed, taken down. But it says, so I say, live by the Spirit of God. You see, the difference between Old Testament, one of the greatest differences of Old Testament and New Testament is New Testament, Jesus is in us. Amen. He's not near. He's in. I'm walking around with Christ Himself, the Holy Spirit. God the Father, I am walking around with God Himself in me. Praise God for that. That means I have the power. No temptation has seized man. Nothing has happened to a man. No temptation has come to a person that they don't have the ability in Christ through the Holy Spirit to defeat. So guys, that means something. All those times we fail, and there are a lot, aren't they? I mean, honestly, pride, lust, there are a lot that we fail. Those are choices we're making to fail because the scripture, the truth says we don't have anything that hits us that we can't find victory in through the power of God working through us at that moment in that one situation. Therefore, what do we need to do? We need to train ourselves to live by the Spirit and not by the law. Live by the Spirit of God, not by the law. Not by trying harder to obey the law of God. If I just try a little bit, no, you'll fail if you just try a little harder. You will fail and fail miserably. And you will get so defeated and discouraged because I'm trying to do what's right and I can't. Paul says, I don't do what I know I should do and I do what I know I shouldn't do. What a wretched man am I. Paul, the Apostle Paul, pretty big hitter in the Christian world. None of us are above that. None of us are above it. So I say live by the Spirit. The last area for a man that I want to go over is, it's a landmine to his character, is the perversion of attitude. Perversion of attitude, anger. Anger. Anger has a lot of different forms, doesn't it? Here's one of my most angry moments in my life. I know exactly the moment that I'm thinking of. And this is what I was doing on the outside. That was my expression of one of the worst moments of my heart. Sometimes it expresses itself in other ways, doesn't it? Sometimes anger expresses itself extremely loud. But once again, it's not always what's happening on the outside, is it? It's another heart issue. Ephesians 4 says, get rid of all bitterness. And it goes through this list of these five levels of anger, of how one builds on another, and then another, and then another. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Bitterness, pakria, polluted, contaminated, sour. That bitterness is a sourness, is what the word means in the original language. That sourness, smelliness. When anger is left unresolved, it becomes bitter. Ugh. Have you ever tasted anything bitter? That's anger doing that taste to your heart. Messing it up. What does that become? It comes rage. Thumos. Thumos is outburst, impassioned, agitated feelings, anger and fits of rage. Going to anger, which, man, that word means fierce passion. Fierce passion. Now you're ready for battle. You're looking for battle. Have you ever seen somebody who's gotten so angry, they're ready? You know what's really funny? It's not funny, but it is kind of funny. But it's not really, but it is kind of. Is when you get in an argument on the way to church and then the pastor has a message like this. You know why? Because all of us have been there that are married at times. Something's said and something's felt, something's processed. If you had an argument on the way here today, I apologize. But nah, 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 nah. Anger goes into brawling. You're there? Okay. Anger goes into brawling, noisy, like a raven's cry, clamoring for fights. It's like the chomping at the bit. Have you ever seen a horse that's just can't wait to be let go? And that goes into slander, blasphemy, to rail against, to say, how can I destroy this person? I am so upset. Now, they're not going to pay for today. They're going to pay for a lifetime. I'm going to ruin their character. How dare they treat me that way? I will ruin them. Slander. It's ugly, isn't it? Solution? Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies. Right. How do you love... Seriously, guys, how do you love your enemies? Somebody who's come at you and tried to hurt you personally. Somebody who's gone through this process, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and they are ready to destroy you, and you're called to love your enemy. Hey guys, have you ever seen, one of the things, one of my friends had a sailboat when we were growing up, and sometimes we'd be able to go on his sailboat. It was really fun. I love sailing. I don't have any friends that I know of who have a sailboat anymore, so. But I tell you, we'd get on that boat, and sometimes that wind would catch the sail. And all of a sudden, you're whipping through. I mean, you think of it as being so peaceful. At times on the sailboat, it's a little scary because the wind is moving you so fast through the water. And when you're new at being on a sailboat, it's like, what are we doing? I feel out of control. All that power in the sail. I've seen times where that power was in the sail, and all of a sudden, whoosh, the wind completely stopped on a dime, and the sail. When I respond to anger and slander with anger and slander, it breeds more power in the sail. When I love my enemy, how do you stay angry at somebody who's being kind to you? How do you be vengeful at somebody who says, I'm sorry, please forgive me? Obviously, you're hurt. Obviously, I'm responsible in some way. And however I did that, I am so sorry. You're what? You just ruined a perfectly good emotion. The sail is empty of the wind of anger. Love your enemy. And pray for those who persecute you. Guys, the heart changes when we start praying. Because I got to tell you, some things have been done to some of you, some things have been done to me that were unforgivable. Unforgivable. Yet Christ forgave me while I was still in my sin. Christ didn't forgive me because I deserved it. I'm really deserving of all his... No, I didn't deserve it at all. I was an enemy of God in my lack of faith, in my anger towards him, in my rage towards God. There have been times where I've hit things with all my might because I was so angry at God. I was so angry at my father. I was so angry for the hurt and the pain and the beatings and the junk and the junk and the junk. And I wanted vengeance, revenge. I had a vengeful spirit. And when that is gone, and it starts with prayer, guys. Not because they deserve it. If you do not forgive, you put yourself in prison. And that prison affects every relationship you have. Men. You're wounded from your father, guess what? You don't forgive through prayer, through coming to Christ and having Christ give you the strength to forgive your father, guess what? You become that man to your children. You just repeat the cycle. You're doing it all over again. And pretty soon you find yourself doing the very things as a child, as a youngster, as a teenager, as a young man, as you're doing the very things you swore you would never, ever do. Ever do. And they come naturally. It's tough, guys. Solution, Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Here it is. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Isn't that frustrating? I mean, honestly. Don't you just look at that and go, really? Really? That's hard. Yes, it is hard. And every single time it's difficult. Every single time it's a difficult choice. It's much harder to make the right choice. You want an easy life? Don't follow Jesus. I promise you. You want an easy, no nonsense, everything's just la 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 la. Don't follow Jesus. That doesn't sound like what most pastors say. What is he saying? Because if you choose to follow Jesus, it means you something happens. You've got to surrender your heart, your will, your desires. And now God's truth becomes your passion. And that's extremely difficult because it isn't natural in the flesh. It only happens through the Spirit of God using the truth of the Word, transforming you to be more like Him. And guys, it is difficult every day, every situation. It's difficult, it's hard. And it costs. Because sometimes doesn't it feel great to let somebody have it who deserves it? I mean, honestly, that's a great from the flesh. That's a great. I remember the first time I got my brother, my older brother, in that headlock. He could still beat me up, but I got the position on him. And I got him down on his knees, and then he started. And I was thinking, yeah. Years of me being the one going, and I got him. It felt so good. And afterwards, I felt like such dirt. And I was terrified because I saw the heart of my father in me, taking pleasure in someone else's suffering and pain. Guys, think about that. Taking pleasure in somebody else's pain. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It does not take pleasure in wrongs. See, anger pleases itself through a response that is evil back. But we're called to forgive as the Lord forgave us. Guys, I'm going to stop here. And I've got more prepared, but I think I've said enough. What I want to close with is this. A man initiates. A man is called to take the initiative, to get involved. Husbands, you are called to be the head of your family. What does that mean? It means you lead, you do not rule. It means you lead so you get involved. It means you lead so you serve first. You do the hard work first. You don't do what you want to do. Instead, you do what you don't want to do. You're tired. You come home from work. You're exhausted. The kids are loud. Your wife may give you that look. Go kill the children. You've got my blessing. You know that look. And you're ready for battle. But you're in the wrong battle. You see, a true man of God, a true warrior for God, knows where the right battle is and where the wrong battle is. He knows where to fight. He knows who the enemy is. And if we could, we'll just end with this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Your battle is not with your wife or your mother-in-law. But, Pastor, you don't know my mother-in-law. She's not where your battle is. Your battle's not with your kids who are disobeying. They're doing that same thing that you've told them not to do 472 times. And you've made a list of each one, so that's why you know. 472. And now they do one more thing, and it's 473. And they get the wrath of Dad. Why? Because none of it's been forgiven. So one little thing becomes 473 things that are unforgiven. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against our enemies. Our struggle is against the enemies of God. That's why we can hate the sin of another person and love the person. Hate what they've done and love them. Guys, there's such freedom in that. Hear that. Hate what they've done, but not be controlled by that hatred. Not be a slave to that hatred anymore. Some of you have been living in hatred for years. Some of you have 20, 30, 40, 50 years of hatred towards another person. That today, everything is right here. And all it takes is a thought, and you're ready for the wrong battle. Because your battle is against flesh and blood, not against the powers and authorities of this dark world. Guys, it's so important to get this right. Know where the battle is. Men, know where the battle is and be man enough to go into the battle that you're called to go into and to not fight where you're not ordered to fight. Be a good soldier. Battle where your commanding officer is saying you need to do battle here against this enemy, but not over here. It's tough, isn't it, guys? Whew. I'm tired just talking about it. It's exhausting thinking about it at times. It's a struggle. Every day it's a struggle. But by the power of Christ in us, we can come to that place. I'll never forget when I came to that place myself of forgiving my father for the first time. I'd done it because I was supposed to, by the law. I was obeying the law, but I was not in the truth of the Spirit. And so I said, okay, God, I forgive my dad because your word says I'm to forgive him and I'm going to be obedient to you and your word. So I forgive my dad. Good, done. Okay, game on. Next. My heart hadn't changed at all. When you come to that place of forgiveness, you have hope for the person. You have love for the person. You desire what's best for the person, even though they may still be bringing the junk. And no longer does the junk that they bring control you and wound you and just completely knock you over. Now, rather than receiving it in the law, you receive it in the truth, in the Spirit, and you see it for what it is. It's pain of theirs. It's their sin. It's their pain. It's their struggle. They don't know what to do with it. And so you're able to love back. You're able to actually love your enemy. It doesn't mean you put yourself in positions where you're going to be mistreated. Don't hear that. You don't put yourself in a position where you would be mistreated. There was a time where we got my mother out of the home because of what was happening in the home. We weren't going to put her in a place to be mistreated, but we insisted that counseling take place. We insisted. Do you hear what I'm saying there? You're not unwise, you're wise, but you're forgiving. You're forgiving. Let's close in prayer. God, just thank you so much that you are the perfect Heavenly Father. God, that you know us. You know where we're full of junk. Lord, you know where we believe that we're right and we're wrong. But we believe it wholeheartedly that we're right. Free us from that lie. God, you know where we have so much pain and what's showing on the outside is an empty shell of a smile. You know that. You know our hearts. You desire not action on the outside. You desire a transformation of heart in your Holy Spirit, in your strength. Father, forgive us for trying to be better people. Get our acts together. Forgive us for trying to get our acts together. Because we've failed time and again. Lord, show us how to be in your Holy Spirit and to have you transform what's happening on the inside so that what takes place on the outside is real, is a blessing. Lord, that no matter what's happening to us on the outside, it doesn't cause us to be broken on the inside. No matter what we're going through, we can be whole emotionally because of you, because of your Holy Spirit doing the transformation inside of us. Let us hold on to that, God. Let's hold on to that. That is truth. That is real. And that is freedom. And passion of life. God, we desire to enjoy you and to enjoy each other. Oh God, break us and change us, humble us. May we be broken before you. Lord, I pray for the men specifically today. Break us down.
Humble us, Lord. Do whatever it takes in our lives to break us, to break the pride, to break our trust in ourselves to deal with the lust, to trust in ourselves to deal with the anger. Lord, break us down so that we are humbled before you, whatever it takes, so that we can experience the blessing of enjoying you and following you out of a heart that is in response, not out of duty. Not because we're supposed to and we don't want to get in trouble, but because we have to, because we want to love back. God, let us love and experience love in that way, in truth, in your truth, in real truth, in absolute biblical truth. Lord, keep us from the lie of the enemy. Keep us away from the lies, the father of lies. We desire to not have him rule any area of our lives. Forgive us for where we've believed the lie. Forgive us for where we've gone on our own strength. We choose today we choose to follow you in your strength. Show us how to do it, Lord. We don't know how. We don't know how apart from your Holy Spirit working through us. Show us your truth. Get us in your word, not just on Sundays, but through the week, so we can build on that. Ask for the men here that they would find other men that speak the truth of the word of God into their lives. Lord, we ask for the women that they would find other women to speak your love and your truth into all the areas of life that can be so discouraging and confusing. May this be a family that honors you, that comes together in the truth of your word, that loves each other deeply, even though we're a big mess. We love deeply without judgment. We love deeply because we know we are forgiven greatly. Therefore, we forgive greatly our brothers and sisters in this family. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Bless us so that we can be a blessing to many. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.